Hello and welcome to Two Blokes Trading. Join us, the two blokes, Tom and Owen, as we dive deep into the complex, exciting and potentially lucrative world of home trading.
On episode 18 this week, we hear the results of our final trading challenge and discover the overall winner. We chat to David Bell of TradingView about the value of trading communities and how to trade COT data. And we take a look back at the last 4 weeks of fundamentals-based trading and come to some surprising conclusions. Brandon, hi. Nice to see they've let you out of the attic this time.
Good day. How are you guys?
Yeah, very well. Very well. Thank you. Glad it's a Friday afternoon. Or at least it is here. It's probably Friday morning where you are, I suppose. Yeah. Tom's probably all right as well, but I'm not going to let him speak.
No, at this time yesterday, Brandon got through a good at least 5 pints by now, so we're
the life of a trader.
Apparently, it was okay because you were doing work while sitting down drinking pints. That's okay, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, the fridge was empty, so I needed to go for the food thing. The pints just happened to be there as well.
Fell, went down your throat. These things happen, apparently.
Yeah. Not beer in the fridge because it doesn't get kept there for very long. It's sort of if it's in my house, it will be drunk. It's really bad.
Well, that's a thing.
Or is that really good? I don't know.
Brandon, do you want to give us a wrap-up of the week?
Sure. Yeah, I guess last week we were focusing on the US dollar, doing similar to the previous week where I let you guys go to the wild and pick another currency to trade against it. We had positive sentiment going through Friday into Monday at the open. So I guess it's time to just see how you guys fared and what currency you picked for what reasons.
All right.
I think it's your turn.
Tom, I think it's your turn to go first.
No, it's not your turn.
Is it?
Yeah.
All right. Well, fine. So I actually made money.
Hey!
What? Yeah. And the crowd goes wild. We need that slow clap feature.
Yeah.
I made a massive 58 pips.
What there the holy fucking shitballs. And what currency pair?
Oh, I had three different. Well, it was two different.
Whoa.
What do you mean, whoa?
That is not the way that this competition works, my friend.
Yeah. It was anything versus the US dollar. We didn't have to choose a specific currency.
That was the rules.
No, we talked about this 2 weeks ago.
Brandon, would you like to independently adjudicate this one?
I believe from the beginning it was you'd pick one currency and then the rest of them would be your own trades for your own reasons that you were doing. But I mean, I can be swayed either way.
I just need to listen back on
the positiveness.
I did listen back to double check that. And that's the rules I thought we had. This is the worst run competition. This should, like FIFA should run this. Okay. Is that bad?
Well, all I'm saying is
well, in that case, I will pick the only currency. Well, to be honest, the other currency pair. So I had three cable shorts and one long US dollar Japanese yen. The US dollar Japanese yen trade scratched out. So I raised my stop loss to break even and then hit that. So I will therefore choose the US dollar, well, GBP US dollar is my, and I made 58 pips.
Way! I mean, I'm going to have to look at your trades after this, but I'll accept and believe you off the back of this, so.
That's fine. I'm glad that you will accept and believe me. So I didn't trade on Monday.
Yeah.
Tuesday, shorted cable. Basically, the story of my week is leaving a lot on the table. I mean, it'd probably be hard for people to imagine that watching the markets, that I shorted cable on Tuesday, shorted it again on Friday the 23rd, and only made 58 pips, given that there's been about 160 pip move already today on Friday, plus a massive one on Tuesday. So the story of my week was calling it basically the right way, and then being a massive coward and taking my profit far too early. And I don't know if that's because basically, I made some money quite quickly when I started trading on Tuesday and was desperate to not end the week in negative. So I could actually, you know, come and have a standing, you know, a fighting chance of actually winning one or at least being positive. So hopefully in the future, I'll have a
what
have a
book
bit more
again are you reading?
Trading in the Zone.
Uh-huh. And that's about the psychology of trading, is it?
Yeah. Right. I was just thinking there's a whole pile of psychological goo you just threw out there.
Yeah, I know. I know. Yeah. I wanted to win this one. What's annoying is that the cable shot I had today, people will know it hit 130, bounced off, sort of retraced about 30 pips. At that point, I got in. It dipped under, and I had a 60 pip profit target from where I got in. As soon as it bounced back again, even though it was still under where I had got in, therefore it was still going in the right direction, I got out. just because I was going for a run and I thought, oh, if I leave it in, I'll lose money. And that was stupid. So there we go. But hey, I'm positive, made money, which is better than the last 3 weeks.
Very presumptuous assuming that you won, though.
Well, I didn't say I was assuming. Ooh. I gave myself a fighting chance.
Okay, okay.
Anyway, so did I win?
Yeah, you did. Good segue right there.
Right. Positive this week, 41 pips on the US CAD, and that was literally probably made that in the last about an hour.
Is that the trade where Brandon said you might want to take a trade on this?
I was already in it, obviously, before
speaking,
Brandon...
Strictly speaking, I think that might be classed as cheating.
Well, you were both told at the same time.
And has it affected the outcome of the competition? So, but yes, no, I'll accept that.
I'm curious to know that were you actually in it before you said that?
No, I wasn't though.
I just maybe that was my fault. I just got a little overly excited about the CPI data coming out so bad.
Yeah.
That's fair enough, to be honest.
But nice excitement in my world.
Now we can actually sort of talk about it properly, like rather than sort of having to sit on our hands about good ideas or bad ideas. But
yeah. Sure.
Good. So that's a one all, I believe.
It is. Oh, that's
boring.
It's quite galling, that is, yeah.
That's well.
So we'll have another competition when it comes around in a month or two, and we'll see what we've learnt in the intervening period.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to go away and have some, I don't know, therapy from Brandon about not being a coward.
Probably incurable.
Yeah,
no, I'm just kidding. Banter.
Yeah. Canadians aren't that good at that.
200 pips on the table this week in trades that I called in the right direction with take profits that I then abandoned. Which is sad.
Well, you picked that cable short, perfect, because there was massive negative sentiment on the pound, and then the US dollar was experiencing good sentiment. So those are the kind of trades that, I mean, I'm scared to call them easy, but they're the ones that you have to hold on to take care of all the other scratch trades or the losing trades, because those are the ones that tend to go forever. The same with that with CAD today. It's just dumping. Well, it's rallying, if you're looking at dollar CAD.
Just going one way, right?
Yeah, that's a huge miss on CPI and core CPI and all that other stuff that was in there. There was a bunch of data sets that came out at once, but they missed on all of them. So with oil being at levels where it's all low and nobody's sure how it's going to affect the GDP or the output of Canada, I mean, that's one thing that just shows that there's problems.
Mm. Yeah.
This is sad times, Brandon. I mean, this is the last time that you'll be able to ridicule us for our trading. You can't even ridicule us this time.
I can always do that on Skype.
Yeah, true. Thanks.
But I don't think I ridiculed you guys. I was nice to you guys. I let you. I thought it was a friendly competition.
Tom is always ridiculing me. He assumes everyone else is as well. That's what it is.
That's another psychological
thing. Our antagonistic relationship.
So, things to look forward to, I suppose, next week, Brandon. You're going to come back on and we're going to have a wrap-up on essentially the key things that Owen and I have learnt over the last 3-4 weeks worth of trading.
Sure. I can't even count to four, but yeah, okay.
Excellent.
Yeah, I'll let you grill me any way you want.
Awesome.
Now that is an offer.
Cool, yeah. So looking forward to that, Brandon. Thank you very much for being our sage, the Yoda to our Luke Skywalkers for the last 4 weeks.
Always a pleasure.
I feel like I felt a lot and felt a lot.
The force was strong with that one. Oh, God.
I feel like I've learned a lot. And looking forward to our full interview. But first, after a brief interlude, we have a conversation coming up about the value of trading communities. Edgewonk have kindly agreed to sponsor this episode of the Two Blokes Trading podcast. For those that missed it, Edgewonk is a fully comprehensive trading journal designed by active, profitable traders to give traders like us an edge and increase our profitability. You can enter all of the criteria of your trade, from the technicals to the fundamentals, right down to even your emotions, and as well as noting if you truly followed your trading rules. The clever coding means that you can look at your trades and chop the data however you wish to work out where your trading edge is. Edgewonk version 2 is now available at edgewonk.com, where you'll be able to download a free trial. That is Edgewonk, EDGEWONK.com. And Tom and I actively use Edgewonk to improve our trading. We wholeheartedly recommend it. It's a great product. So get along to edgewonk.com and download your free trial. Two Blokes Trading welcomes David Bell. David is the UK Regional Manager at TradingView, and business development manager for Tip TV and an experienced FX market analyst. You can catch David on his weekly Trading View show on Tip TV or on davidbellfx.blogspot.com and on the Twitter at davidbellfx. David, hello.
Hi, mate. How's it going?
Yeah, well, thanks. How are you?
Yeah, not too bad. A bit gloomy here. Not like last week, but it's okay.
The gloom has even come as far south as Kent, I can report. So summer is over. Gone.
Exactly. That's it.
It's dead. Oh, well. Tom's up north, so it's always gloomy.
I think we should pick up the tone here. It's starting to get a little bit depressing before we've even started.
David, I'm actually really excited to talk to you, both about, obviously, about TradingView, and we're going to be talking about the value of trading communities, but also about your personal trading, because you are an active FX trader, and I think also maybe some other products as well. But you're a technical trader primarily, aren't you? And we've had a few discussions recently about sort of sentiment and fundamental trading, so... Yeah, something a bit technical might be fun.
Yeah, I mean, I do look at the technicals pretty heavily, but also combine that with the other two elements as well. I think cool. if you are just, you know, focused on one discipline, it doesn't work so well. You always have to bear in mind everything. I look at a combination of probably about a split between 20% fundamentals, 20% sentiment, and 60% technicals. I think a lot of the time the technicals drive the market, but you can also pick up certain little intricacies and certain feelings from the fundamental and sentiment side. Now, on the sentiment side, what I refer to is the commitment of traders' data. And the fundamental side, obviously, you know, hard data coming out of the US, Japan, you know, UK, Eurozone, those kind of things. On,
sort of look, trying to bear, keep everything in mind.
Definitely. I think if you don't try and build as big a picture as possible, your view's always going to be missing out on something.
Yeah.
But you always have to fit it as well. I'd say you always have to bear in mind your strategy and what you're looking for at the same time. So one of mine, for example, when I'm looking at a longer term chart, is looking at commitment of traders data, whether the non-commercial speculators and the commercial hedgers are at extreme longs and the market's either hitting, you know, high, really maybe yearly highs or yearly lows. And then that a lot of the time indicates a reversal to me in combination with some technical ideas.
Okay, so non-commercial speculators, who's that?
So they're the large speculators. So they'll be people with real money, smart money, people like to refer to it as. They will be driving the market in, you know, the current direction, whereas the hedgers will always be, say, if the market's rallying, they'll be selling, okay, because they're hedging the market essentially.
Okay, so you don't mean necessarily, so you're not talking hedge funds there, you're talking maybe large institutions who are hedging their currency risk or whatever.
Exactly, it's always about hedging the risk. So it could be, you know, Google, for example.
Okay, could be... and a non-commercial speculator then is someone who is actively using their money to trade the markets, to speculate in the market, but non-commercial means, as in not you and me, but big players like funds, that sort of people.
Exactly, that's it. And you know, if you do want to check out the positioning, obviously it's released every Tuesday, commitment of traders data. Barchart.com has really good
barchart.com. Okay.
Yeah, it's got a really, really good. So it shows you the price, current price over the last year. And it also shows you the positioning as a graph as well of all of these different players. So that really gives a really good visualization because, to be fair, the commitment of traders data, it can look quite confusing. There's loads of, you know, different numbers and things like that. And yeah, it can get a bit confusing if you're giving it a kind of eyeball.
If you're looking for specific data, so the non-commercial speculators and the hedgers, and so you're looking for them both to be long, was it?
Yeah, they're always
short, for instance.
Yeah, they'll always pretty much be going opposite ways.
That makes more sense.
Yeah, because obviously if the large specs are driving the market upwards, someone's going to be wanting to hedge that on the other side. But if you can see that it's at an extreme net long or short position, both of them obviously, so you're looking for them to be opposites, That can be a really good indication of a market turning point. And in fact, if you look at, there's a couple of markets I'm looking at the moment. The S&P actually is doing this. Coffee is doing this. Gold as well. And also orange juice, which I didn't even know you could trade
Sunny Delight, then you
well, exactly. Right. I think that's more of a carcinogen rather than actual orange juice.
We're going to get a cease and desist letter now from whoever it is that makes Sunny Delight. So who will be... So we've got an extreme long position with the speculators and an extreme short position with the hedgers. Yeah. The market will itself, the market price will it be long with the speculators?
Yes.
Because they've driven the price. Okay. And so what's your trigger to understand whether it's extreme long or extreme short?
So to understand whether you're looking at, he's referring to whether it's a market top or a bottom.
Yeah. So when you say when it's an extreme position, how do you define that? Sorry to go into so much detail, but I just think this is fascinating.
No worries. So there is a guy called Wyckoff who, you know, he created this theory on the stock market about 100 years ago now. So early 20th century. Essentially, it's all to do with buying climaxes and selling climaxes. Okay, so you can have, it's called firstly an up thrust. So you can see an increased amount of buying, and then you have a spring which breaks that high of the up thrust. That is essentially the end of the buying climax or selling climax. And then you have a second test on quite low volume. So if you do want to look at this further, it's called volume spread analysis. So
I'm actually writing this down.
It really is interesting. You tend to find that with low volume at highs for a certain period of time, after a sustained period of high volume, you can find a market turning point if you look at, obviously, price action, COT data, and these formations that occur. So this is why I used to take an S&P trade, I think it was last week, and also a cable long trade from, I think it was 1.288. That was about 6 weeks ago now. I closed that last week. But I mean, it's all to do with thinking what other participants are doing at the same time and then relating that back to the chart or vice versa. You know, the chart can relate to what you think that other people are doing in combination with a variety of different other variables.
It makes sense, doesn't it? I mean, because I always think, you know, the technicals are basically a way of representing visually what is in front of you on the graph.
Absolutely.
So it only makes sense if you can understand what that's telling you about the market, rather than just blindly believing, you know, something's going to do something because it did X and Y before, you have to understand why, right? To be able to trade it with conviction.
Absolutely. And I think people, especially technical traders, I think they forget that all they're looking at on a chart is what people's psychology is. That's literally all it is. I think, you know, they can get blown away by loads of different support and resistance lines and fancy indicators and all of this. But at the end of the day, all you're looking at is fear and greed. That's all the chart is a representation of. And if you're able to capture a certain intricacy over a set number of trades, say it works 60% of the time, and you're looking at 2-to-1 risk to reward on that 60% of the time, you know, you'll make money.
Yeah.
And it's very difficult to do, obviously. It's easier said than done. But I think if you can always relate back to the fact that all you're looking at is people's psychology, and as I said, try and get something that works more than, you know, half the time with good risk to reward, then you're sorted.
Yeah, so I mean, it makes complete sense to me that what you're saying there, you know, and I think people that, I mean, I got downhearted when just a few trades go against you, but you have to understand, didn't you, that you only need to win 60% of the time if you've got the right risk-to-reward ratios.
Absolutely. Well, you can win. Technically, you can win 1% of the time if you have, you know, if you have 101R. So, you know, it all depends on, well, I mean, for example, if you look at, you know, the turtle traders, I think they only had about 20 or 30% win rate. And the reason they had that is because they would enter up to 10 times before they actually cracked it. But then because their risk to reward was so vast, and their exit parameters especially were very, very good. You know, they'd exit if price broke below a certain point after, I think it was 2 weeks or something like that. You know, they knew the exact parameters and they had the discipline to execute and to exit. You know, that's all that they needed.
Yes, massive trends.
Exactly. Oh. They were hitting the trends.
Cool. So that's a really interesting little nugget there, I think. A knowledge bomb, a trading knowledge bomb from yourself. So basically, we're looking for Wankoff selling climaxes after an upthrust which breaks springs, right?
Wankoff.
Did I get that right?
Wyckoff.
To me.
I think his name's Richard Wyckoff. Okay,
cool.
That was it.
Well, it sounds like he's pretty dead, so I can make a joke out of his name and his sexual,
oh, of course.
Sexual founding trading system.
It wouldn't be fun otherwise.
As long as his relatives don't hunt me down. Cool. So obviously we're also here to talk a little bit about trading communities, and it's something that's really close to our heart. You know, we've been very fortunate, me and Tom, to have spoken to some people like yourself, you know, people who have been in the industry for a while. You know, because we've got this podcast, and not everyone has that opportunity to speak to experienced traders and have. We've had a lot of on-air conversations, but we've also had a lot of off-air conversations and learned a lot from other people that know what they're doing. And hopefully for us, if we're paying attention, that will sort of flatten our learning curve. But not everyone has opportunity. So a trading community seems to me, and mentorship and all that sort of stuff seems to me to be really, really valuable. And obviously that's what a trading view is set up to do. So as a guy who is tasked ultimately with building and running that community here in the UK, I'd be very interested to get your perspective on it. And I suppose find out a little bit about how you got involved in that, what the value that you see in the community and how it might be sort of looking and growing in the future.
Yeah, most definitely. I think, well, first and foremost, trading is very, very solitary. There's a lot of people as well who don't know about trading, who think that you're sitting in a room gambling all day, which you are. You absolutely are gambling all day. But, you know, there's a certain stigma attached to it. Now, if you can be surrounded by like-minded people who, you know, they're trying to give it a go. They understand that there's risks, but they also understand that a certain discipline and a certain mindset is required. On the main part anyway, I mean, you do get a few nutters who like to go, you know, 100% risk and blow their account after 5 minutes of depositing, but but it is always good to be around people and be speaking about the markets. I mean, if you were to be working on in a prop fund or a prop shop, they would be talking about the markets all day. You know, you'd have a morning briefing. You'd be saying, oh, look what's happening on, you know, the Bund, or look what's happening on the S&P. What do you think? What's your opinion? Whereas as a retail trader, you don't really get that experience. This is why things like, you know, forums, Forex Factory, Trading View, all these things are good, because you can really put your opinion out there. But at the same time, you can also get critiqued as well. And sometimes you get really harsh critiques. Sometimes you get great critiques. It's all part of building yourself as a trader and building your own view and style, I think.
Okay. Interesting point, actually, David. So, because I think a lot of people maybe look at TradingView and see the value in looking at other people's ideas and not necessarily copying them, but getting their ideas. But you're saying that there's value to you as a trader to have to put your ideas out there and contribute and put your balls on the line, I suppose.
Absolutely, because no one likes getting shown up. Do they, quite frankly? And the thing about TradingView is that you've only got 15 minutes before you can delete your chart. If it's there after 15 minutes, then it's there forever. It's there for the whole world to see. And I think that if you are putting yourself out there, it does give you confidence as well to allow yourself to be critiqued. I think that's the most important thing, is always being able to progress and always having constructive criticism and being open to constructive criticism. At the end of the day, though, 80 to 90% of retail traders are wrong. So I tend to take other people's opinion with a very big pinch of salt, because, you know, if you play out the stats, people lose money. So, you know, most of the time, their opinion doesn't matter at all. And I think you have to remember that as well, especially in this game, is that just because someone else is going long when you're going short doesn't mean that they're going to win. You know, it just means that you have to try your best to stick to your strategy and, you know, stay disciplined.
But obviously there are people with a proven track record on some of these sites that, you know, I guess if your trades and the things you've said are out there, then there will be people that can build a following. Do you find that those with larger followings, those that have been around a while, if I suppose they're trading a similar way to which I trade, for instance, that there is then big value in going on every morning, seeing what they're saying, seeing if their analysis agrees with you? Or do you think you just run the risk of undermining your own strength of conviction?
I tend not to look at even publications. I don't like to read the Financial Times because, well, firstly, it's late news, and secondly, there's too much opinion based in there. Mm-hmm. And I don't like to read other things on the market. You know, an end of session roundup is fine because it's pretty impartial. It's just telling you, you know, key levels, key numbers, maybe some news events that has happened. But when you start to look at too many different opinions, it does create conflicts in your mind. You know, but at the same time, if you are looking at a chart and someone's analyzed something, it might spark something. You know, the other day, in fact, I can't remember what it was. Someone had made, I think, a Canadian dollar basket. They'd noticed that it was looking considerably weaker. Now, oil at this point was trading at about $45, I think. And just off of that, I realized, crap, I probably should close my position here. Or, you know, I think I was closing my position or getting short. You know, things like that, it can spark something. And then now oil's trading at, what, 43?
Yeah.
Just above 43, something like that.
So there's a great shout.
Exactly. Fantastic shout. But, you know, it might not have been productive initially to what they wanted to, you know, try and promote in their idea, but it sparked something off in my head. So this is why trading communities are great. I mean, if you're at university and you just go to a lecture, you don't really learn anything from that lecture directly. I mean, you learn the content, but you don't really learn application. This is how I learned, was by going to the seminars, by discussing it with my peers, by asking and speaking to someone, i.e. the tutor, who was, you know, maybe a doctor or a master's postgrad student who knew exactly about the topic, who'd probably written a thesis on it, and learning from someone who had the authority to say, no, this is right, this is wrong, blah, blah, blah.
So just talking around trading, talking around markets, looking at an idea, not necessarily copying that idea, but looking at an idea, saying, oh, that's interesting, building up a bigger picture in your mind about that particular product or the markets in general. All of this is good learning.
That's
it. And spot your own trading strategy.
I think actually Twitter is a fantastic resource to learn off of people. In fact, there's a guy called, he's a bit of a troll, but he's funny. he's called Fuckface, and he is extremely, extremely knowledgeable. So Twitter is at Fuckface if you want to follow him.
I definitely do.
Yeah, he's actually the one that taught me about Wyckoff. Well, he told me to have a look at it. But he uses also Volume Profile via TradingView as well, which is something that I do. Yeah, he's very knowledgeable. He's more knowledgeable about the intricacies of the market. You know, things to watch out for, you know, in other markets. So he might be looking at the options or futures market and seeing, oh, there's a rollover occurring, you know, watch out for XYZ. But Twitter is a great resource. There's a load of different people on there to follow. Trader Dante as well is a very, very good follow. I think a lot of the no bullshit guys are the ones to follow because, well, you know, you see what you get.
No bullshit.
Exactly. That's it.
Yeah.
Also, there's a couple of good lads called at Two Blokes Trade on there as well. Which.
Oh, yeah, and those guys.
Yeah, they're full of bullshit, though.
They know what they're talking about in a short time frame, though.
Yeah, thanks,
cool.
Mate. Thanks.
I think we're probably out of time, David, but really, really good to talk to you. Great to hear about your trading, and that COT data is definitely something I'm going to be checking out. David Bell from TradingView. Do get on there and check him out, and also obviously check him out at David Bell FX on the Twitter. Cheers, David.
Cheers, fellas. Cheers, mate.
Our thanks to David Bell from TradingView. Key takeaways from that from me: communities are good, especially if you're sitting like on your lonesome like you and I, mate.
Isn't there a stat, something like 50% of traders don't actually know another trader? You know, home retail traders, they don't even know a single other actual person to talk to about trading who also trades.
Is that a stat or is that something you just made up?
Well, it's in my brain, so I don't think I made it up. I think I heard it, read it, someone told me they may have made it up. But, you know, nevertheless, I'm sure there are a lot of people listening to this who, you know, trade from home and don't have anyone else to talk to. So it's an online community. Is you know, the world is full of niche things now, and all of them have online communities, and there's a lot of value in that.
And I've been looking at it a lot on TradingView, and there isn't a lot of flaming going on. Generally speaking, everyone's there to support each other. So maybe reminding people about news events or key information that's happened, and just, you know, quietly nudging people towards, you know, positive or negative things about their trade. So tends to be recommended, I think.
Mature place, but I was quite interested with David's chat about the COT data there as well. It might tie in quite well with I suppose the more fundamentals based trading, although, you know, it's ultimately ties in with his technical strategy. It's still, you know, it's based on actual data, so interesting, I suppose. It's funny, I don't know whether that counts as a technical trading or fund. It's not about the economies, but it's not also pretty patterns on a graph, right? So it seems to work for him.
Brings us quite nicely on to the next thing that I'm keen to talk about, is just kind of wrap up on our full week's worth of trading with Brandon and the fundamental side of thing. And from what you've just said, I completely agree. I think that there is a very, very grey area between fundamentals and technical trading. And from what I understand and from what I'm learning, generally speaking, even if someone calls themselves a fundamental trader, they're still using technical indicators and vice versa to a certain extent.
Yeah, I think that a lot of the people we've spoken to like to do a bit of both. There are some very successful traders who just do one or the other, I thought. Certainly who just do technical trading, look for patterns, you know, that sort of like Elliott Waves, whatever it might be, and just really ignore what's going on with the central banks. But I mean, so when I was trading the sentiment of the day, if you like, I was still looking very much at, you know, certainly at support and resistance lines, but also just this last week looking at some Fibonacci retracements, not because I think that there's necessarily any particular reason why that should be an accurate way, but I think that they've become self-fulfilling, you know, a lot of these things. So you have to look at them, and it just gives you that confidence to say, yeah, now is a good time to get in, or now is a good time to get out. Mm. But calling the direction, I personally, it doesn't sit well with me, calling the direction of the movement of a currency pair based on a different way to visually show past price movement. That's all these things are. They all are all exactly the same thing. It's a different visual representation of the data of the last X number of periods, i.e. where the price has moved. And it's just a different way of looking at it. For me, that's calling the direction off the back of that. I don't know. It doesn't work for me.
Having spoken to Brandon, he does. I mean, throughout the last 4 weeks, I've been asking, what the hell's been going on with such and such in currency, and why has it moved like that? And there's always a fundamental reason as to why things have happened, at least from the time chatting to Brandon. And that maybe a lot of retail traders are lacking that knowledge, and therefore they lean far more heavily on the technical analysis than actually spending the time to learn and understand the fundamentals, because the market's moved due to fundamentals reasons.
I mean, I get the technical point, I suppose, that particularly if we're trading over the short term, you know, interest rate decisions are short term as much as they have a very quick effect, but they are long term in as much as, you know, a currency with a much higher interest rate than a one with a much lower interest rate will be stronger than that currency generally. And so that's a very, very long term move, but the day to day moves within that will follow patterns. You know, there are millions of people in the market that believe that, so I'm inclined to agree with them, that you can predict through technical analysis. But yeah, for me, a bit of sort of a blend of the both. But I guess is that part of my brain that won't allow me to take a trade if I don't understand what's going on underneath. I cannot just look at something someone has said to me when X does X and Y does Y, buy or sell, you know, in this direction by this amount, just because of something on a graph, you know. I want to know why. I want to know what's the interest rate doing. I want to know what are the CPI data say.
So have we had anyone on that's been a successful technical trader? I suppose.
Yeah, so Black Cabby Trader, he does was look at the technicals. He wasn't interested at all in the fundamentals and didn't believe actually that there really were fundamentals for currencies of any value whatsoever. Obviously, he was a shares trader. But yeah, he just looks at technical indicators for certain shares and buys them accordingly.
Maybe we should have another chat with Moritz as well, and just about his system and get because again he's a technical trader, isn't he? As well.
Yeah, pure technical trader. Yeah.
So let's definitely have looking a chat with him again.
I mean, he was saying that he looks for trends and then indicators that the momentum of that trend is building and then follows the trend. Which I suppose, yeah, it doesn't really matter what the fundamentals are doing. If there is a trend and that trend is building, then follow it. And sometimes something will happen that changes it. But more often than not, I suppose you'll go with it to a certain extent.
Yeah.
So when you put it like that, it makes sense. But, you know, I'd still want to have my calendar there saying, well, actually, you know, there's an interest rate decision in 3 minutes. Like, you might want to be aware of that.
Yeah, I love it.
There are a million different ways to skin a cat with trading, I think. And what does seem to be the case is that people that we've met that are successful have a system that works for them, that they enjoy, that they believe in, and they stick to, and they make money, whatever that system might be.
Yeah. No, all good. And I think that we need to do more research into our own personal system and then, and then stick to
it
if possible.
I'm probably going to be sticking with the idea of, it's basically what I've been doing, getting up in the morning, you know, London time, very fortunate in that sense, looking at it from about 7 to about 8, 8:30, seeing if the sentiment of the day appears to be agreeing with the Asian sentiment and the sentiment of the previous day. Has any data come out on either of these currencies to change the prevailing sentiment, the trend that is in place? If not, go with it, you know, and be aware of, you know, using the data from Rand Squawk and the analysis there, be aware of levels where there are other orders, institutional orders, and use those either as areas to get in or out, and just go with it. You can go with the trend. Don't overthink it. Don't get a million indicators to tell you one way or the other, all of which might be contradictory. I mean, that this has been working for me for this last week. Now that I've got my head around how that works,
I think a week is it's a very short term.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Viewpoint on it, but stick at it. Definitely.
But it sits well with me, and I think they say that, you know, you've got to get something that suits your personality, and this suits my personality.
Cool. And we've got loads of questions for Brandon, haven't we? Which is the final chat with him next week. Yeah, and then we're going to just kind of get his final say on the matter and send us out into the like newborn babes into the world.
Yeah, that's it. Well, I want him to ask questions like, all right, when is it the sentiment? How much does it have to move in that direction for that to be the sentiment? You know, and if it changes, what's the difference between a retrace and a change of sentiment? How can I tell that? You know, those sort of questions I want him to answer for me.
It's tough, though, isn't it?
So if he's listening, which I hope he is, even if he's up in the attic, tied up, you know, gagged and bound on a chair, if he's listening to this, you know, I've got some big questions for him.
Yeah, I think that's the holy grail that we're asking for. So maybe he can't. Maybe he's may struggle slightly to comprehensively answer.
I have faith.
Okay, good. Right.
Cool. All right, so don't forget, Trading in the Zone has to be read by next Monday. We're going to do our podcast book review of that one.
Uh-huh.
So you better get reading. I've almost finished it, mate. So I know I had a head start.
A little bit. I've got a bit of hard work to get involved in that, but I'll keep working on it.
Have you bought it yet?
No. I'll do it directly after the podcast.
All right, mate. Good stuff. Speak to you on Monday.
Good luck with your trading. See you next week.
Thanks for listening to the Two Blokes Trading podcast with Tom and Owen. Be sure to subscribe and check out twoblokestrading.com, and we'll see you back here next Monday.